Writing that down, no bad.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Like the man said, hour number two right now, the Press Box on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. It's Nick and myself from Beaumont at 500. 500 is a phenomenal place to hang out. Think of it as like Lucky Strike for golf and so much more. Indoor, outdoor, lots of stuff going on. 2021 Summer League season for golf here starting June the 7th. It's Monday nights, 6 o'clock. It's sponsored by Classic Chevrolet. They have stroke play with handicaps, four-man teams, 16 teams. You play a full 18 holes, cash prizes. It's really, really cool. And if you haven't seen these simulators on the inside, you actually have the indoor driving range with the mats down, but because of the big screen TV you're hitting it into, you're essentially playing the greatest courses in the United States. You're playing Pebble Beach. You're playing Augusta. And you're playing against teams where it's judging the distance of every shot and scoring it the way you would normally be out on the course. And you're doing it indoors while you're drinking and eating and having fun. It's an awesome thing to do. You got to see this place. It's great. It's 500. It's here in Beaumont.
There you have it. Did you catch anything in regards to the Texans? Tyrod Taylor did indeed speak. They talked about taking over his role, Deshaun Watson's role as quarterback, but nothing like juicy in terms of the lawsuits or the massages or anything like that. But one thing that Nick Caserio has done since taking over as general manager of the Houston Texans back in January is there's been a lot of transactions that he's made. I mean, a ton.
Yep.
And one thing that he's done is he's put a plethora of running backs on the roster for some reason, and I think it's pretty indicative of him wanting to. They always stress competition. Everybody's competing. Well, apparently Phillip Lindsay is doing pretty well out there in practice. He's on a 1-year, $3.25 million deal. Started eight of 15 games his rookie year. Was a Pro Bowler. Had two 1,000-yard seasons the first two seasons as a Denver Bronco. I thought he was cool, too, on my fantasy football team. And when you talk about competition, like they're saying he's like the, you know, there's people already tweeting, oh, he's the lead guy in terms of the running back position. I don't know if that's going to be the case. But one thing I do know for sure about Phillip Lindsay is that this guy is not afraid of competition at all. Back in 2018, the Broncos drafted two different running backs. I think in 2018 there was 20 running backs that were drafted overall. They drafted Royce Freeman and David Williams. He was later offered $2,000 to come back and compete for a position. He outshined everybody. He almost chose Baltimore over Denver. His mom convinced him to choose Denver, and then for whatever reason, the general manager didn't want to pay him. He does have the injury-prone label, but it's only been a year, basically, because he had that significant drop-off that third year. But apparently Phillip Lindsay is making some noise.
Well, think about it last year, Nick. He's on a Broncos team with Melvin Gordon. He didn't shy away. You know, if he's got to split carries, it's one thing. But he's going to get his, and when he does, he's going to play hard. And the other thing is he's got young legs. We know the life expectancy of a running back is not long-term, nor suited for big money in the NFL anymore. But if you look at it with the roster that the Texans have, and even adding a Rex Burkhead, which is just another Patriot guy that Caserio has as a how do I put this? A cheap version of Duke Johnson, where you got a utility back that knows kind of how you want to play. But I think it comes down to, do you want David Johnson as your starting tailback, or do you want young legs that's really, really ready to get after it and prove himself like Phillip Lindsay? I think it was a great signing, and I think he should be the number one guy on the depth chart.
Yeah, $3.25 million. Rex got a 1-year, $1.5 million deal. Tom Pelissero tweeted that out, and I saw that about 6 or 7 hours ago. So he's on a really cheap deal today. And the other thing I want to point out about the Texans is all these deals that Nick Caserio is doing, whether you agree or disagree with them or not, I think it's good that he's getting these reps right now because now he's, for the first time, despite being attached to the Patriots and NFL drafts all those years, for the first time, he's putting his name on every single deal. So every single deal that goes wrong, he can actually make the adjustments because of all the reps that he's been able. I mean, this guy has signed player after player after player since January.
Here's the savvy thing I like, because from an outsider's perspective and even a Texan diehard's perspective, they're looking at this and going, these are all Band-Aids. These are all stopgaps. These are short-term deals at little money just to get veterans on the roster. But you know what it does? In the case of Tyrod Taylor, it takes a guy that's been no stranger to competition and puts him where he feels comfortable, but he's competing for a spot, so he's going to play hard. For all these other guys, you talk about the fact that a Philip Lindsay who's been looked over, you can look at it as a negative and say, short-term deal, not a lot of money, no big deal. Or you can look at it as saying, I'm a hungry guy that's going to prove myself in this league, that's going to maximize this opportunity, and I'm giving it 150% on every play. There's so many of the guys that are on that roster, if you want to look for a positive, that are looking at this and saying, I got something to prove. I got something to prove to this team, to the league, whether I'm playing for a contract here or somewhere else. I know I belong.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to go out and I'm going to bust my you-know-what every single play and play as hard as I can. That's something that could be refreshing for Texas
fans. Oh,
yeah,
for sure. And I heard Lance Zierlein say this morning. He's talking about, look, there's a lot of players where they don't want to give them a long-term deal, and there's a lot of players that do not want a long-term deal from the Houston Texans, and that's a good thing. You know why? Because I think it relieves some pressure that you would otherwise have of expectations from really, really good players. So if you're a person that's going into the season and saying, look, yeah, I want to prove myself and I want to do well, but if we don't win, look, I'm only here for a year. It's okay. I think it allows you to play a little bit more loose. It allows you to – I still don't expect them to win more than four or five games.
I
think Vegas has them at five
four.
Wins, if I'm not – or maybe it might be four.
I think it was four, yeah.
I think it was 5-12 on one book that I saw. It could be 4-13 on another. But
to my point, too, the example being, you look at the receiving core. You got two guys that have big money. They're going to get that big money whether they play well and really bust their chops or not. In Randall Cobb and in Cooks. They've already said, been there, done that.
Yeah.
And they're probably leaning on, if we're going to be bad, I'm not going to overextend myself on plays or to make plays.
Particularly Cooks.
Because I'm already getting paid, right? And Cooks has had concussions. Cobb's has series of injuries. On the flip side, what you do get is, with these hungry short-term contracts, you get a guy like Lindsay who's going to go out going, we need an extra yard. I'm going to show the Texans and any other team that may want me in the future that I'm not afraid to go put my head down and get that extra yard.
Yeah.
You also take guys, you look at some of the rest of the roster, and you say, instead of guys that are sitting on big contracts that may or may not be there in a year or two, you're looking at guys that have said, I got something to prove. I'm going to go out there and prove to you and the rest of the league that I can play, and then I can still play at a high level. Take Desmond King. Desmond King's a former All-Pro, former Pro Bowl guy. But guess what? No one gave him any money. No one's given him any love. So if he comes out and proves it with the Texans, they're going to want him back. Other teams are going to want him, and he's going to prove, I still got plenty left in the tank. So that's what I like, as opposed to the receivers that are going to be kicking it going, if we are only going to win four games and Tyrod throws me one over the middle, I'm alligator arm that. I'm not going out all out for that ball.
And what it does, too, it allows Nick Cassero to kind of absorb the culture and the attitude of all these players that are not here for a long term and say, hey, who really, really wants to be here? Who really wants to compete and who really wants to prove himself? That's why I like the Philip Lindsay signing, because he's only 26 years old. It's not like he's old. The whole injury-prone label, I don't know where do you get that from just 1 year. There was a significant drop-off, and I think he only rushed for like 500 yards or something like that. But he also had a career low in terms of the number of snaps that he got as well. So that's the reason why I like the Philip Lindsay situation. I
like
the competitive dynamic that they have right now. I don't think they're going to be a good football team. But
as we said, too, I don't think they should be.
No.
Because this
no.
is the year you get all your draft picks back.
No.
So you want the first pick in every one of those rounds.
Yeah.
Because what we're talking about, too, is this isn't a veteran-laden roster. This isn't a talent-laden roster. This is a roster in complete rebuild mode. So you want the best picks to get the best players that are at a young age that you can possibly get so you can stockpile and get better quicker rather than extending the rebuild like we talk with the Rockets if they don't end up with a top four pick.
Yeah.
You need all the best picks you can get. So it behooves you for one more year to suck and get all the top picks. You might, if you have the number one pick and you need a quarterback, you got it. If you think that you got your guy this year and you can move on to another position, but you know you can get the best player at that position because you sucked for one more year, go get him.
Yeah. And you know what? I always hate on David Culley because of the way he addresses the media, but he's the perfect coach to have right now while they're going through these growing pains and this rebuilding process. So hopefully they can make things. Look at the number of transactions Nick Cassero has made. Look at me scroll. Look. It's unbelievable how many transactions this guy has made since being the general manager.
But you know why I like it, too? And you and I both said the same thing. I believe that David Culley is just a scapegoat bridge. I believe whatever the hell's going on with Jack Easterby or Cal McNair should be criticized on a daily basis. I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt to a Nick Cassero because you, even through osmosis, you had to get something out of being 18 years with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And also because when he came into the situation, he knew what he signed up for. He knew that there were a ton of
overpaid players that had to go. Nick Martin, etc., had to get out of here. Yep. They were going to have to take some short-term lumps. But in doing so, they were going to open up long-term opportunities to rebuild this roster. And so far, by the list that you just showed me, by the deals that we were just talking about, I like what he's been able to try and do.
Yeah. I like the team-friendly deals. I like the budget-friendly deals, only because it does create competition. And if you're in a situation like that where the culture's bad and you're trying to keep it good and you're trying to make sure that you've got everybody that's given 100%, that's what you got to do. You got to create competition. I think that's what Nick Cicero's doing. There's a few Tyrod Taylor bites that we can get to. Just so we can test the Houston media market that you don't trust, Joel. Let's see if anybody asks the tough questions.
I'll tell you this. I'm going to give Barry Warner the credit, whether he was working for an outlet or not, or just showing up to be seen. Barry was the guy that went at Bill O'Brien. Barry was the guy that wasn't afraid to go at you at a press conference and ask a tough question. There's too many guys worried about hurting feelings or ruining friendships with front office personnel and players to ask the tough questions. I don't see it anymore. I don't hear it. Even a John McClain, who's been doing it forever, I think he borders on being on the soft side rather than going at and asking and then continue to ask if they don't answer tough questions.
And I think a part of it is because we always talk about, man, that guy is just a blogger. That Joe Schmo blogger. He just made some Texans website and blah, blah, blah. Here's the deal about these bloggers. These teams actually like them. Because what are these bloggers are going to do? They're going to paint them in a positive light as much as possible. So if that blog happens to have some decent reach, guess what? They could use that leverage against a massive media market or an outlet like the Houston Chronicle. But I like to give the Houston Chronicle a little bit more credit. I feel like they do ask some questions sometimes.
You have to, because you're supposed to be the information source. You're supposed to be the non-biased opinion on sports and news and otherwise. To your point on the bloggers, and I told you, this Daryl Morey and Tad Brown actually capitalized on bloggers. They would take them to dinner once every couple months.
Yeah.
They would invite them to watch a game with them once every couple of months.
Yeah.
And in the process, they told them what they could and couldn't put out there. If they were putting something out there they didn't like, they had no scruples about calling them up and going, hey, we don't like what you put out there. And the guy that put it out there is thinking, well, maybe they won't invite me next time to the dinner or the viewing party. And they take it. Why do you think Ben DeBose was their puppet? Why do you think that like some of these Red Nation bloggers and all these other things, that it's always constant positive rockets when we know they only won 17 games? It's because you can be the media guys on these blogs can be bought.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. And that's why I just think like it's a different dynamic now as opposed to having 2-3 TV stations, maybe 2-3 radio stations and 1 or 2 newspapers. Now it's everything I just mentioned plus bloggers, podcasts. You know, all kinds of websites, YouTube channels. Those are all considered media outlets to a certain extent.
Which is a joke in itself. Too many people are getting media credentials and access without having to prove.
But if you're an owner of a team and you're sucking, not just from an on-the-field standpoint, but you're sucking from a management standpoint. And the only people that are putting out the news are the newspapers and the TVs, and they just keep pooping on you,
Sure,
then here comes Joe Schmo from, you know, Eagles, you know, the best eaglebird.com or something like that. You know what I mean? And he's saying nothing but positive things. You're going to start being nice to that person.
It's a resource, but the teams love it because they can control it. But what the fans shouldn't like about it is the fact that they're not getting legit news and straight takes. They're basically getting glorified fan sites. And that's what the problem becomes because the media has become more and more lazy as we go. I can tell you this, Nick. Unless it was game highlights and sound bites, in order to get the TV stations to get out there what we wanted them to get out there on the Rockets, you had to do the job for them. So essentially my department was responsible for taking all the B-roll. Say one of the players, the lesser players, did a community appearance. I'd have to send a photographer out there to video everything. Then I'd have to have that photographer interview the player that made the appearance and the key person from the charity or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Then I'd have to put it all on a tape, and I'd have to send it to all the stations, and then I'd have to call them and say, hey, here's basically just put it together at your place. It takes a few minutes, but all you got to do is produce it or edit it. We've put everything else together for you. It's the only way we could get that story on the news.
Yeah. Well, now that doesn't work that way. They're not the one putting all the clips together. It's the TV stations. That's what you used to do, what I'm saying.
But the teams, that's what they have to do to get that on the air. Unless it's highlights and sound bites from practice or a game, you got to do all the work or they're not doing you any favors.
Wow.
As a TV station. Now, these blog sites and otherwise, do you need us to do? We'll be there. We'll be there and we'll interview everybody and we'll put it on our site by the end of the day. Well, that's why teams love them.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to roll. In hour number two of the three-hour program. So we've got lots to get to. And if you got things you want to get to and you don't have the energy to get to them, why don't you go to Apollo Men's Health? I was there today. Had the blood work done, blood pressure checked, a little B12 shot. They take care of me, and they can take care of you too. For both men and women, they have everything from hormone therapy to recovery therapy to getting on a full workout program that they can set you up with, starting with a full body composition analysis, and they do it with people that actually take the time to care. Dr. O and his staff do a fantastic job because they've been doing it for a long time. They used to work at those other clinics. Now they work for the one that can get you results and do it the right way. Go to ApolloMH.com today and set up your first appointment. You're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name and ESPN Radio, free B12 shot on your first visit, and then let the process go from there. You tell them what you want to do and answer their questions. They're going to get you answers, and they're going to find you results. They're good people doing great things. It's the people at Apollo Men's Health. With an empty waist to give.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back and continuing to roll at 5-under golf in Beaumont. Nick and myself all the way up until 4, then filling in for the Blitz. You got Moneyline today with Jerry and Josh, and they're going to take you from 4 to 7 along with Aaron, who's already in and helping us out on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Stop by and see us here at 5-under. We love this place. Stop in here frequently. Really cool that they also have concerts out here, and we saw pictures of their Cinco de Mayo concert.
Their stage is on point. Like the lighting, it looked cool. Chris had a really cool like shot from like being on stage while he was performing, and it just looked.
I think it was Tracy Bird.
It was right? Tracy Bird performing, and he was on stage basically, not with Tracy Bird on stage, but kind of behind him, and then you could see just the crowd, and it was just, damn, man, that stage is awesome.
So they put a stage about 60 yards, he said, out in the middle of the driving range, and then it's standing room between the stage and where the mats are to hit, and it's a double-decker mat setup. So they turn the actual bays, as they call them, where you hit the balls, into like mini suites.
Yep.
And they have, you know, the lawn furniture and everything, and those were suites for the concert. And then behind everything, you have the indoor area where they had refreshments, beer, and everything. Awesome, awesome mini concert setup, and they're going to do more out here. So keep an eye on that, too, as well, because 5-under's got everything for you, golf and otherwise.
And Chris, he's just such a big kid. It was cool. He was driving around the golf cart and letting the kids just throw all these balls at him, and it was hilarious. I tweeted a video of it on Twitter, at the producer, Nick. But I've always loved this venue. I've always loved how clean it is, too.
Oh,
bunch
fantastic.
Of great food.
And
like
new,
everything is like clear and new and well-built.
So I got a question for you. Because I was scanning the net this morning, and I want to say someone like NBC Sportsnet or something like that just threw it out there and just randomly said, what was the first sports jersey you ever owned? Now, I already know that you and Barry have said it, this whole thing that's completely shamed me out of ever doing it again, that adults at a certain age don't wear jerseys anymore. Now, Jerry Bowe has a problem with that because Jerry Bowe, to this day, loves to wear jerseys. Some people don't. Some people do. But going back to the day where I had, and I for the longest time, I had a ton of jerseys. I'm just curious, you're a Houston kid. What was the first jersey, the real jersey, not a T-shirt with a number and name on the back, but the first legit jersey you ever had?
I mean, it took 3 or 4 years of me convincing, but I eventually got a Hakeem Olajuwon jersey. And then after I got that and started working, I probably owned, in terms of NBA jerseys, probably 30, 35 NBA jerseys total.
Yeah. Oh, I had a ton. I mean, between baseball, basketball, football. I know the first one that I ever had was a Packer jersey.
Aaron Rodgers?
No, because, I mean, look, I am a little older than you. So there was,
when you're a
kid.
So
there was a running back for the Packers by the name of John Brockington.
Ah.
And so I had a John Brockington Packers jersey, number 42. And
do you still have it?
No.
I still have mine.
But here's the thing. So you guys always get on me for being a Packer fan, but the thing was, for years and years and years, they sucked. They were awful. So driving out here, I called my niece, who's like my little sister, and I said, okay, walk this through with me, because she's only 2 years younger than me, and she also kind of she was like a tomboy at the time. She was hanging out with a lot of us, too. I was like, so I remember my first Packers jersey was. She goes, yeah, but then remember, you were a big Steelers fan because the Packers were so bad, and you loved Lynn Swann. I go, oh, no doubt. I had a Lynn Swann Steelers jersey.
Really?
Here's the bad thing, and Mark's going to kill me for this on Twitch, because Mark's a massive Bears fan. I had a Walter Payton Bears jersey.
No, you did not.
I did, because my best friend Mike was a running back and loved Walter Payton. And again, the Packers sucked, so we didn't have that rivalry built in like our parents did.
Right.
And so when you turned the Packers off, the Bear game was definitely going to be on, and you saw just how strong and athletic Walter Payton was. And so I got a Walter Payton jersey.
And where is this Walter Payton jersey now?
Come on, man. That's so many years ago.
Keep your jersey?
I hope it's still intact for somebody else.
Bro,
now, I will say this. So, and I was telling you this, and I don't know if you guys had this here in Houston. And I'm curious if you guys want to, like the beer man Greg says, I have an old Reggie White jersey from when he was 4 or 5 years old. If you still have it, Greg, that's good on you. I don't still have mine other than memorialized in pictures. But I will say, growing up in Wisconsin, Bob Uecker was the Brewers announcer. But Bob Uecker worked with a guy by the name of Merle Harmon.
Yeah.
Well, we always talk about side hustle. Merle Harmon doing sports and doing Brewer baseball. Everyone knew his name. So Merle Harmon created a thing called Merle Harmon's Fanfare. Merle Harmon's Fanfare were in every mall in the area. And all they didn't do equipment and stuff. All they did was hats and jerseys. And then they were the first to do the iron-on the T-shirts where, what's your favorite team? Okay, what colored shirt T-shirt do you want? Okay, who's your favorite player on that team? We can put...
like the logo on the front.
We can put the Rockets logo on the front. We'll put 34 Elijah one on the back.
I've seen
and it's
that,
only going to be like $10 or $12 as opposed to the jersey cost.
That's exactly what my parents
had
done.
I had a boatload of those because we couldn't afford the other ones.
Yeah.
But that got it started for me to where I got big into hats and jerseys and all those things.
Oh,
that
was,
I don't know if they had that... something like that down in Texas, but up north, that's what
it wasn't common though. It wasn't common, but I do remember owning a similar T-shirts growing up, only because back in the day I really wanted the jerseys, and at that time, like I said before, the ones that were not authentic, like the Champion authentic jerseys, they were considered replicas. Those were $40 as opposed to 80, and so my mom was already like, "Look, $40 is expensive enough. I'm not going to drop $80." But I have the Hakeem Olajuwon one. I have the Dream Team Olajuwon one. I have the Robert Horry in white.
Ketchup and mustard. You still have them?
I still have them.
From when you were a kid?
I have the Robert Horry one. I have the Hakeem Olajuwon one, the Dream Team one. But they're all replicas. They're not authentic.
So they aren't the well, – we went, we are.
Pro, they're all the $40 ones.
They're not pro-cut or retail authentic, as we talked about.
I don't have it. I never owned one of those, except for one. I owned an authentic – I think a Kentucky – oh, no, a North Carolina jersey once.
Okay.
But other than that, I've never had an authentic jersey. But I have the Robert Horry, Hakeem Olajuwon, both in Rockets Red and the Dream Team. I have an Anthony Hardaway one back when he was Penny playing for Magic.
Yeah. Aaron, what'd you have?
Well, what was let's your see. First when jersey? I was a kid, I had a Steve Young and a Jerry Rice. They were matching jerseys, but those were just replicas because I wore those out.
You grew up here?
Yeah.
And you were a Niners fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was after the Oilers left. I was an Oilers fan until they ran away. And then I had to find something else, so I found the 49ers because I loved watching Steve Young and Jerry Rice play.
Fair. All right.
He's anti-anything Houston, I feel like.
I had a Dream jersey at one point.
Okay.
I think I might have had – this is hard to remember because I don't remember a lot. They might be sitting in a box still. Or they might have gotten thrown away. I don't know. I feel like I also had a Robert Horry jersey. A Rockets
Why are you
one?
Guys amazing me with the fact that you still have them?
Honestly, I'm shocked I didn't lose it in the house fire.
I'm willing to bet that every jersey I've ever owned as a child is gone.
Yeah.
No, I
mean, now
mine.
Now it's another thing to say there's two things that might change that, right? If it was a stitched on, either retail authentic, or if it was signed, there's a reason to keep them. But other than that, I wouldn't be keeping jerseys from my childhood because, I mean...
I don't know.
Everything, the material changed. They used to be that mesh.
Yep. That jersey mesh. They called it like a jersey mesh.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We didn't get to the point where everything was sewn on.
As an adult, I have a... I mean, I was kind of an adult. I was old enough to drink, but I was buzzed in a shopping center one time and in Dallas, and they had a Rafer Alston swingman jersey for $6.
Nice.
And I literally pulled out a $10 bill, handed it to him, was like, all right, cool. That's good. Because they were, I think they were playing in Dallas that night too.
See, back
that's a Juggalo Trey move. Juggalo Trey likes to get random athlete jerseys from like the most random of players. He finds them on that crazy site Raheel used to go to,
yeah.
Where you don't. They're like, whether they're knockoffs or not,
yeah.
They look really authentic,
yep.
But they're only like
well,
$10.
That's their version of a flea market. Like growing up, the flea market was so much more fun. Now, why is the flea market fun when you have Amazon? Like, I remember going back to the flea market to buy everything, jersey, clothes, shoes, cologne, subwoofers, and they would always blow, and I'd go back and get another subwoofer because there'd be no refund or no anything. Like, and people would always go back because you'd always find stuff on the cheap, like Tommy Hilfiger stuff or Ralph Lauren stuff.
Yep.
But now they got Amazon and websites that Raheel and Jose Partida are familiar with. It takes the fun out of a flea market now. But back in the day, man, flea markets were fun.
But, like, if it was signed, you hang on to it.
Of course.
Because it never loses some kind of a value.
Okay, I get your point. You're calling me a loser because I've kept
no,
all my
Aaron
jerseys.
No, Aaron was saying that there might be in a box somewhere, so I thought maybe it's a thing down here where if you get a jersey, you don't give it up.
I don't know. Maybe it is. I just try to keep all my jerseys. Particularly the first one, like even when it started fading, because they used to tell you back in the day, as long as you wash the jersey inside out, the numbers won't fade. Not true. But I kept that Olajuwon one despite the fact that number was faded. All my other jerseys are pretty much in really good condition, but... I've kept them. I don't wear them, but I've kept them.
Yeah, my Olajuwon one I wore maybe 4 or 5 times as a kid because my parents told me I would ruin it. But like the Jerry Rice and the Steve Young jerseys, I wore them all the time to where the numbers completely faded away.
See, that's what I was like. Where I was too. Like, and then I don't know about you guys, but we would do our own neighborhood football games. So we didn't care that it said when you got out of the Sears catalog, those helmets with just the two little face bars, and it said, these are not made for actual, we didn't care. Like, I can't tell you how many times I thought I broke my nose because I got headbutted between the face guard and the top of the helmet. But we were out there, and we had two dads in our neighborhood. They weren't even dads. How about this? There were two dudes, younger couples that were married in our neighborhood that loved football, that decided that they were each good every week on after the football games. We'd go out and one had a front yard that was good enough to play a full game in. One would be all-time quarterback for one team. One would be all-time quarterback for the other team. We thought, we got adults calling plays, throwing passes. So we would go out there with our helmets. We'd get some rickety-ass
shoulder pads,
throw those jerseys over it. And the same jersey you wanted to wear to school because it was your favorite player, you were going and trying to bust someone across the middle to make a play to impress the neighborhood guy.
That's hilarious. And you probably leveled people as big as you are.
Oh, my God. And yeah, right, that too.
Well, not like big. Like you're just being – I mean, how long have you been 6'3"? I mean,
But here's the other thing. The other thing was you could actually get your personal beefs and vendettas out of the way. Like I know for a fact that my best friend who was 2 years older than me, he didn't like certain people in our neighborhood, so he intentionally made them on the other team, and then he would tackle them
just
on the concrete.
Level them, yeah.
On the concrete.
Oh, that's not right.
Oh, we had – I can't believe more people didn't get hurt. But, yeah, I was just curious, like, what was your first jersey, legit jersey, when you were a kid? And now I'm curious even more. Do you still have it? Because I can't believe some of you might.
You know what? I might look – I got to find it. Hopefully I didn't lose it in the fire, but I'm going to look it up and I'll show it to you. Hopefully I have every single one of them.
Aaron, what's this box that you might have had it?
Like, just a box where my mom threw all, like, the stuff that she thought I would want when I'm an adult. And
old
years
storage.
Ago – She called me. She was like, hey, I'm cleaning out this. My sister was cleaning out my old room and moving into it. And she was like, come pick up these boxes because I don't need them. So it's sitting
in
my garage.
That's why that whole Storage Wars idea is kind of fun.
But aren't moms great for that? My mom saved all my cards. And I thought at the time, there's no need for this. And then no matter where I moved, I just moved the boxes.
Yeah.
And now when I look through them and I saw the rookie cards that I have and some of the things, I'm like, my mom was all world for thinking that.
Saw pictures of your old muscle cars back in the day that you used to roll around in. And
I wasn't a muscle car guy. You were. That wasn't my thing. You worked at you and your dad had the car thing. Me and my dad had sports. That's it.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Then he forced me to golf. I can't believe I still like to play. All right, that's the 90-minute mark of the show. So the first half's in the rearview mirror, but the second half in the windshield with plenty more ready to go. So stay right with us. It's the Press Box ESPN.
To call. Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show starting right now on the Press Box. We were talking before the break about what was your first jersey, and do you still have it? Remarkably, there are a few like you, Nicholas. One, and of course this is just wrong in so many ways, but someone, obviously a Cowboys fan, said I had a Daryl the Moose Johnston jersey, and I still have it. There's a time and a place for everything,
sir. I can
see that.
That makes sense.
I had a Vernon Maxwell jersey in the old red and yellow, and I still have it. I had a full Astros replica uniform when I was a toddler. Please tell me you don't still have it. My first jersey was an authentic, game-worn Ernest Givens from the 92 Oilers, I still have it.
I'm not sure.
You know, there was a lot of rumors about Ernest Givens. I'm going to leave it right there.
There's a lot of hoarders out there, okay?
I didn't go that far, but okay. Yeah, I'm done. Well, there is that too, right? Okay, and just because sometimes a small cross-section of listeners like to come at me because I'm not a born-and-bred Texan, I will, and my sister can verify this, I will let you all know that I was a massive Astros J.R. Richard fan growing up, and that one of the first jerseys I got for either Christmas or for my birthday was a rainbow Astros jersey for J.R. Richard.
Nice.
And my sister, well, I don't have a picture with it, I don't know, but my sister has a picture in one of our albums sticking her tongue out holding up my J.R. Richard jersey. I loved him.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. That 80 team, I loved watching those games with my dad on TV. And I don't know about you guys, too, because here's the other thing. Like, when you were playing Little League and things like that, every year your team name would change. Well, what we did is I played in, like, three leagues at a time. And so one of the leagues that played during the day, you just got a hat and you got a T-shirt. And the T-shirt would be the color, and it would be whatever sponsor. So if we had a bank, we had North Shore Bank as a sponsor. Every T-shirt in the front had North Shore Bank.
Okay.
But on the back, it was blank. So I would take it to Merle Harmon's Fanfare. And if we were the Astros, I got Richard or JR and 50 on the back. One year we were the Dodgers. I'm a left-handed pitcher, too. I got Fernando and 34. But it would became a running deal. Like, whatever team I was on in that day league,
yeah,
they were like, who's he going to pick? Who's the guys that ran the league. And it was a fun deal. But if we were on, like, our Little League teams, we had full uniforms. And we had Brewers, Orioles, you know, Pirates, all those different teams. You wanted your number to be the best player in Major League Baseball wearing that number for that team.
Because you wanted to wear that guy's number. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see him. If it was that big of a thing down here when I was a child, I can see getting into that. Only because of the monetary. That it's a more of a budget-friendly thing. Someone said Sam Cassell. And, man, I really wished I got a Sam Cassell Rockets jersey. But I never got one when they were the champions. I really wish. I really wish I had a Kenny
Our
Smith one,
A.R.
too.
Our boy A.R. Platinum said that.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
I mean,
really?
Yeah, and you know what? I can see why. Rockets fans would be massive Sam Cassell fans because you talk about draft picks that panned out right away.
Yeah,
Sam Cassell was massive.
I would say there's three jerseys from that championship team that I wish I got, and they'd be Sam Cassell, Mario Elie, and Drexler. For some reason, I never pulled the trigger on the Mario Elie one, but I really wanted it. But yeah, those are probably the other three that I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, and the other interesting thing are the role players, right? Because in other markets, the only Rockets jerseys being snapped up were going to be Olajuwon and then later Drexler.
Yeah.
And then
– no, Ori. I think Ori – I don't know. I'd have to look. Did Ori didn't have decent jersey sales? Because he was so known to be a part of that
maybe
clutch fabric.
I just don't think that, nationally. I think that you the guys you're talking about, locally, the Vernons and the Marios and the Robert Ori.
Oh, that's another one. Maxwell.
Yeah. Those are ones where I would think that everybody would be all over it. But I don't think nationally, when we talk about nowadays, when they put the top 10 jersey sales for, you know, a specific sports league, you're not going to get the role players like you do in your local market. That's why an Ernest Givens real jersey, that's like, wow. I mean, Oilers, you're thinking Earl Campbell, or you're thinking Warren Moon,
yeah.
But you're not thinking Ernest Givens, yeah, or Ken Burroughs,
yeah,
or guys like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm curious. I think I was a big jersey guy growing up. Like I said, Jerry Bowe still is. I think he's got the Lakers split jersey between the 24 and the 8 for Kobe.
Oh, he's a big Kobe, yeah, fan. And I can see, like, just out of love and out of respect for Kobe, all of a sudden, I guess there's like a resurgence of his jerseys. I don't pull the trigger. I mean, if I'm buying a jersey, I'm getting one of those clean setups like you have in your house where I'm – what do you do? You have to, like, put them around cardboard because cardboard absorbs moisture.
Well, I don't do it personally, but those are all signed.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the only reason why I would get a jersey now is what I'm saying. I would never,
yeah,
I would never, yeah, I'd get it framed and I would never wear it is what,
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the extent. You guys guilted me into it a couple years ago because I still had plenty of jerseys.
But were you wearing Packers? I guess I saw you brought Packers.
On Sundays, watching the game by myself, I'd put a jersey on.
No, to the studio.
No, uh-uh. I wouldn't wear jerseys.
You'd wear Packers gear.
Yeah, the gear. I just don't wear the jerseys anymore. You guys shamed me into not doing it anymore. I had, when I first got to town, I had someone that knew the equipment guy for the Astros that got me the blue and gold Astros. Greg Swindell wore 21, and that's the number I wore in college. And I paid for it, but the equipment guy, to make an extra buck, took Swindell's nameplate off and made blank 21 on the back of Swindell. Took a Swindell jersey and made it into a personalized jersey for me. I love that thing.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I had Houston in my background, even if I was growing up in Wisconsin. So I was curious from you guys, if you guys want to join throughout the show or just throw out what you had, that'd be great.
Man, I don't know if I should have taken her recommendation when it comes down to the flavor of this energy drink, this Bang energy.
Hey, Aaron,
drink.
We got to talk about this. I knew it was going to bring. I was going to bring it up at some point. So Lily from AT&T is now working at 5 Under. She's working in the back patio here.
Hopefully
where
she
we are.
Hear what you said.
If she does, it's a compliment. But Nick says, I got to get the coolers locked out here. Nick says, I got to get one of those Bangs. I said, you're still paying for Bangs, huh? And then she says, what flavor do you want? Now, I know there are a lot of flavors to choose from. And maybe if we were talking about ice cream or cake, it might be different. Nick went straight to birthday cake bash.
On her recommendation.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She said that if you have a sweet tooth, which I kind of do, go with the birthday. Like, now, this particular flavor, Fred and AJ have completely stayed away from because they never asked me to get that flavor. But the birthday one I thought would just be a little sweet. It tastes like I'm drinking something I would drink when I'm, like, 6 years old, you know what I mean?
As well it should. Birthday cake bash is your flavor of choice with Bang.
It's not really my flavor of choice. I just tried it for the first time.
By the way, it says super creatine.
What is that stuff? Isn't that the stuff that
you might want to know before you put it in your body, Mark McGuire?
I mean, it might. Hey, that way, if I test positive, I can't. You know,
you might want to pick up a weight or two if you're going to capitalize on that.
I can't get punished for it because I don't. You know, I didn't know.
Super creatine Bang, Aaron. Birthday cake bash.
I wonder if any athletes have ever failed a drug test because of an energy drink.
I'm sure they claim to. I'm sure that's a way out.
I mean, super creatine, that sounds like something that's on a banned list,
didn't,
right?
Didn't college players back in like the mid-2000s get popped because they were using Muscle Milk, and Muscle Milk had an enzyme that was found in like it was found in like breast milk, and it was also linked to like steroid use. So then a bunch of them all tested positive, and so
yeah,
then the NCAA had to say Muscle Milk cannot be associated with them with us until they fixed their formula.
Yeah,
wouldn't be shocked at all.
I could be telling lies.
No,
I remember a buddy of mine going, "Oh crap, I can't use this anymore."
I remember hearing something like that, and then I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but Jolt Cola.
Oh yeah, I remember that back in the day.
Like when I was in college. Our entire offensive line, before every practice or game, would each hammer their own 2 liter of Jolt.
Back in the day when I was drinking RC Cola.
That's garbage.
It is, but that's what we were. I used to drink Pepsi, RC Cola, Jolt Cola.
What is Star Blast Bang? That's a flavor?
That's a flavor of Bang.
Yeah, someone that's another said, flavor. It's not one I haven't had. I've only had the two flavors that are the exact same but different names.
Which are what?
Radical Skedaddle and then the...
What does a Radical Skedaddle taste like?
It tastes like Skittles. Purple Kittles, okay. That's the other one.
Okay, not bad.
Tastes like a handful of Skittles. Like if you were to eat them all like M&M's where all the flavors mix.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it tastes like, and it's delicious.
I probably should have went with that as opposed to this birthday cake bash. I don't even know what this super creatine stuff
is. You get ice cream with that?
No.
You get any gifts?
Negative.
You go with recommendations because our chick from AT&T said try it out?
Is that a thing?
Lily says try birthday cake.
So a girl gives you a recommendation, like done, done.
Evidently with you it is. Here's another tip.
Potent brain and body fuel.
The Skittles one, Aaron, sounds probably decent when you're talking about for an energy drink. Lisa brought home.
Oh, she probably brought some organic energy drink.
Well, yeah, so she gets the protein powder, right? The plant-based protein powder. I just prefer vanilla, and I put fruit in it, okay? She goes, well, babe, I saved you a step. I go, what are you talking about? She goes, instead of getting you your vanilla flavor, I got you, and there's just a picture of a bunch of that look like Fruit Loops. It's the most god-awful tasting protein I've ever tasted. You can't, and there's nothing you can put in it changes it.
Look,
it is awful.
You two are the king and queen of being disciplined about what you guys eat and all. Look, I can't do that. I just say, you know what? You only live once.
Unless a chick tells you that they recommend
as much sugar
it,
as you
and
want.
Then you're just going to
I was
going to
get
all.
The Bang anyway. I just got the flavor. Now I regret it. I regret the flavor. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Something that says super creatine
so
on here that
you test
positive.
So
if a chick
says, I want you to drink this drink with this fruit in it and this umbrella, you're going, yeah,
I want it. But I wouldn't be surprised if you would test positive considering it says super creatine on the Bang. On the bottle itself.
Well, you and Mark McGuire have something in common now.
You can always blame it on like some meat that you ate from like a foreign country.
Key lime pie is the best flavor?
Yeah, I've heard that. Fred likes
okay.
that one.
Well, then I won't. Adrian says, I have a Steve Francis and Andre Johnson jerseys. Still have them.
Is it true he's working at UPS?
Who?
Steve Francis.
No.
So those pictures are fake?
I didn't see any pictures. I know he's the co-owner of that. Minor league basketball team Mucci's coaching for him called the Houston Push.
Okay, I could have sworn I saw some pictures.
If he's co-owner of a team, no matter how bad they are or good they are or money-making they are, I don't think he's working at UPS.
Okay.
And where are you guys on this? Someone said, I have a rule. I won't wear a jersey of someone younger than me. Well, that's why I'm not wearing jerseys anymore. You just don't believe anyone should be wearing.
After a certain age. I think.
Are you done wearing jerseys, Aaron?
28 yeah. is the cutoff.
I have what? like I have Astros ones that are completely blank, no number, no nothing.
Right.
But other than that, those are all that
so
I'll
So you'll
really
wear those?
Yeah, I'll wear those.
Okay.
Or all if right. it's a, like, I have a Blackhawks jersey that I'll wear every now and then when I go to the Maple Leaf, but that's because we don't have a hockey team.
Right.
And I'm not going to find one here.
Yeah. All right. Well, just thought I'd throw it out there for you guys. Someone also throwing out Purple Haze, Champagne, and Rainbow Unicorn are the best flavors.
Purple Haze. I was going to go with the Unicorn one at first, but Purple Haze I've had.
Your girl Taylor would have been right there with you if it was anything to do with a unicorn.
You know it.
I don't need her with creatine. All right, we'll continue to roll in. I'm sorry, Aaron, I missed that. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, I've been telling you about them for quite a while. It's more than roofing that they do, but if you want to go and get the best roofing done, whether it be a replacement roof or repairs, for your business and or for your home, you go to Fitz Roofing because they have the best ratings in the business, the best warranties in the business, and the best products. And Corey and his staff are focused on making sure that you, the customer, are happy at all times. And it starts with a free no-obligation inspection. It costs you nothing. They come to you, and they just tell you what they can do. 832-521-3001, and they'll get that whole free no-obligation inspection process started. You can also check them out at fitzroofing.com. But either way, if you reach out to them, they're going to take care of you every step of the way. They also do fence repairs. They do home repairs around the house and the attic, and everything is taken care of to your satisfaction. Check them out because they are good people doing great things. Corey is a Houstonian, and he takes care of the people in the Houston area. 832-521-3001 or FitzRoofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5.
listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back rolling through hour number two of the three-hour program. It's Nick and myself from 5 Under in Beaumont. If you like golf, or you just like hanging out, this is the place to be in the 409. It's absolutely incredible. It's an outdoor driving range, indoor bays in which you hit into what is the equivalent of a big-screen television, where if you want to play dodgeball against cartoon characters, you can do that. You want to throw footballs to try and hit receivers, you can do that. You want to see how fast you can throw a baseball, you can do that. Or you can just do what we do out here on the driving range. You can play the top courses in the country legitimately on the television while you're swinging every club in your bag, and it's a pretty cool concept. They've got great food, great beverages, lots of stuff going on. We're going to be here till 4. And better than that, once we hand off, Moneyline is going to be here. My good friend Josh Jordan already in the building. Jerry Bowe's going to join him. Those two guys who you always hear on Sunday mornings are also going to be here today filling in for the Blitz from 4 to 7. So have some fun. Stop in the 409. Say hi to them and enjoy the amenities at 5 Under Golf.
So let's talk a little bit about this Jake Paul-Tyron Woodley fight.
It's interesting.
They had this face-off, and I guess they're making it about, you know, MMA versus boxing.
Yeah.
And it really shouldn't be that way. I mentioned when Jake Asman filled in for you that I think it's a fight that does actually make sense for Jake Paul. I know a lot of people don't respect him because he's a YouTube star and whatnot.
Right.
But they had a face-off, I believe, yesterday. And, you know, they're just, you know, they're doing their usual face-off where both are talking trash. And then Jake goes out and says, you know what? If you're so confident, Tyron Woodley, why don't you, if I win, then not only do you have to give up your money, you have to give it up and donate it to my charity. But if I lose, I'll give up my money to you. And Tyron Woodley denied it, bro. He did not take the deal.
Now, did you hear this, that Woodley has said he wants to make a career of being a boxer now? He wants to go full-fledged boxing. But you've got full-fledged boxers saying, this is a complete S show. This is a complete joke.
Yeah.
But we've talked about the fact, from a revenue-generating standpoint, this may be where we're headed in the sport, because it seems like there's more interest in these kind of, like,
fights,
sensationalism fights and like, internet hero types than it is to actual true masters of the sport. What do they call boxing? The sweet science. I don't get it, but it seems like people are going to pay more in a pay-per-view to see the Paul brothers fight than they are and see Screech, RIP, or someone like that, as opposed to big-name boxers.
Yeah, it's just the way the trend is going. And I would say this, the Jake Paul fight with Tyron Woodley, to me, makes more sense, is more appealing than the Floyd Mayweather Logan Paul fight. Logan Paul is clearly not the better boxer of the two brothers. And you can tell from both face-offs that in the Jake Paul-Tyron Woodley face-off, Jake Paul is clearly more confident. But if you look at the face-off between Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul, you feel like Floyd Mayweather is more confident. And so I think Floyd Mayweather is a lot more, like, he's more intelligent when it comes down to picking fights. You know what I mean? He's totally confident.
And yeah. I saw what you saw. And I think the thing that, you know, Woodley can say he wants to be a boxer, right? But anybody can say that. But I think that when you think about getting into the ring with an experienced fighter, no matter what the size and weight differential is, with a guy like Mayweather, he's going to dance circles around you. He's going to take advantage of every opportunity. He's going to be smart. He's going to be calculated. And he's also not going to sit there and set himself up for the big punch. He's going to dance, he's going to float, and he's going to pick his spots. But when he picks his spots and unleashes barrages, unless Paul can land the one big haymaker, I don't know how that makes sense to me in terms of everybody loading up and saying Mayweather's going to lose.
Yeah, I don't think Mayweather's going to lose that fight at all. I think Tyron Woodley has a better chance of losing than Floyd Mayweather. I think Floyd Mayweather is definitely going to win. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, he is getting up there in age. What is he, 44, 45 years of age? That one punch could potentially knock him down. That's why it's kind of a dangerous fight for Floyd Mayweather. But, I mean, Tyron Woodley, if he wants to start doing boxing, I can see why He's been a championship multiple times in the UFC. For him to get back where he needs to be to even get a title shot would take a really long time considering the losing streak that he's on in the UFC. So I can see why the transition would make more sense. You don't have to worry about four or five disciplines. Your boxing stance is different than your MMA stance. You only have to worry about your hands. And I'm not saying that makes it an easier sport than MMA. It just makes it different. Sure. And at that age, at 39 years of age, it probably makes more sense for him to do that. Because if he wants to go back and fight MMA, that means are you fighting for the title or are you fighting for paychecks? Because at this point, there's a good possibility that you're going to need to win three or four wins at the 170-pound weight class, and chances are you're not going to get there. You're not going to get far enough. You're going to hit. You just turned 39 in April. You're going to be 40. There's no way you're going to get a title shot before you hit 40. You know, it's just rare.
Yeah.
It's really, really rare. So but I just thought it was interesting he didn't take that bet.
Yeah, it is. And I think that it's all about the payday, right? But the thing that's interesting to me even more with a guy like Mayweather is he doesn't need the money. He's constantly out there, you know, gambling on games every single night, throwing big dollars around. We know he's known for carrying the backpack everywhere, loaded down with cash. You know, he made a boatload of money in his fight career and with pay-per-views and things. So I understand why the Paul brothers are trying to do this, because there's easy money in it and because it actually monetizes all their social media popularity and such. But I don't understand why Floyd wants to get back in it.
I'm assuming, look, even if he's broke or not, it's still for the money. Even if he's broke, it's for if it's for, if it's because he's broke, it's definitely for the money. If it's not, I still think it's for the money. He's going to get a massive payday from this Jake Paul guy too. He's probably the A side still, but still.
Do you think he looks at it too and says, "I don't have to put nearly the work in training that I would if I was fighting a true fighter"?
I think he wants to train.
And I can. I think he likes it to a certain degree, but I don't think he has to do it as intensely as he would have to do if he was fighting a legit, even if it was a fighter past their prime, even if he was still trying to fight, you know, a Pacquiao or still trying to fight, you name it, De La Hoya is trying to make a comeback. But still, because they're ex-fighters, they know all the work it would take to get into a certain shape to be in a certain position. Where if you're fighting a guy like one of the Paul brothers, you know, they're only training so hard. And you look at them when they get in the ring, and they don't look like a true boxer would look. And you feel like, hey, for half the work, I can take care of it and still get a good payday.
Yeah, I mean, if that's Floyd's thinking, fine. I mean, he can probably get away with training a little bit less. I don't think he should do that because he's always been known to be a defensive fighter. And there's a lot of decision wins on his record. So I would think he would at least train to the point where he can go however many rounds it is, whether it's 8, 10, 12, or whatever the case may be. Because he doesn't want to be in a situation where he's tired. Because if he is tired, he could get knocked out. Logan is bigger. He's taller. You know, Floyd looks tiny compared to him. So
yeah, no doubt. And so with that, we'll probably wrap up the second hour of the show. We've got more to get to in the final hour of the program. Also, one thing I want to get to, and I don't know if you guys caught this or not. And if you did, please let me know this as well. But this whole documentary they did on ABC over the last 2 weeks on Mike Tyson. I told you I watched the first half last week. Well, the second half was Tuesday night. And, boy, I had forgotten some of the things that had happened in Mike Tyson's life. And you talk about being set up. Robin Givens set Mike Tyson up in a way that I didn't recall.
Until
they started talking to the Barbara Walters.
Oh, I knew that. That's one thing Mike Tyson has been consistent about for years. He goes, "I deserve to go to jail, but I do nothing to her."
Wow, when I saw the backstory on that. All right, we got an hour to go in the program. We'd love to have you be a part of it. We're at 500 Golf in Beaumont. We're taking you till 4. Moneyline, filling in for the Blitz, takes you till 7. So hit us up on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. It's not about the crown.
We could share the kingdom with him. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.